Broadcasting from the David Price IMAX Center Studios. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Is Buck Nuts, Dave Biddle, not a stranger to the show. He's been here a bunch. Dave, how you been, bud?
Been well, Bill. How about yourself?
We got a couple games in here. I've watched the Buckeyes, most all their snaps I've seen this year. I'm impressed. I'll tell you the one thing, though. Usually you go into a year and there's a couple new guys. Something about the new guy isn't what you thought. Sometimes it's worse. Sometimes it's a little better. Dwayne Haskins, isn't he really, realistically, about what everybody thought he'd be? He's putting up serious numbers, but that was pretty much expected, correct?
The yards, you know, the touchdowns, you know, hitting receivers in stride, all of that, the poise was expected. I think the one thing that's pleasantly surprised people here is that he, you know, he stayed away from turnovers. He has a touchdown interception ratio 11-1.
Yeah.
11 touchdowns, one interception. It's not like he's got 22-2. But you know, I'm not going to act like he's going to keep it there all year, but it just goes to show. And he's not fumbling the ball. So I thought, you know, he's got that gunslinger mentality, but he's found a way to, you know, and they're passing the ball more than they ever have during Urban Meyer era. It's a lot like what you saw back 12 years ago from Ohio State with Troy Smith. Just not the typical Ohio State offense, and it's refreshing. It just really is. It's the most important position in football, as we all know. I would say quarterback's the most important position, sports period, team sports. It can make that big of a difference, and as great as JT Barrett was, Dwayne Haskins is an upgrade, and that's not a knock on JT Barrett. Dwayne Haskins is going to end up being a first-round pick. Could be as early as 2019, in my opinion. JT Barrett struggling to even stay on the practice squad in the NFL went undrafted. So one of the big debates up here, everybody's enjoying the season, don't get me wrong, but it's like, you know, why didn't Urban play? It would have been, not that it would have been easy to bench a fifth-year senior who's on the verge of shattering every school record, was a three-time captain. It would not have been easy to bench JT Barrett, but a lot of people think maybe that Urban aired last year. And I'm one of those people. I don't think Dwayne Haskins all of a sudden became a great quarterback this year. We saw it against Michigan last year. I think he was the better quarterback last year. I think JT, just because of seniority and because of loyalty, and we've seen that's one of Urban's weak links is loyalty. You know, loyalty to Zach Smith. You know, loyalty to certain assistant coaches. They have probably the weakest, not probably, the weakest assistant coach they have is a guy's a nice guy named Bill Davis, but he was Urban's best man at his wedding, Bill, and he's, you know, I mean, the guy has a good resume. He was a defensive coordinator in the NFL. It wasn't like he was, like, working at a fast food joint. Urban said, oh, because you're my best man at my wedding, I'm going to make you the linebackers coach. But it's just another example maybe of Urban being too loyal. But, yeah, Dwayne Haskins, I mean, he can make every throw on the field. The poise is there. It's just he's got everything you'd want in a quarterback. The one thing, he might just be one and done as an Ohio State starter.
Dave, here's the thing, and I don't know what all set up there in Columbus on the zone and the channels up there, but I'm sure somebody has said about JT Barrett last year and not playing Dwayne Haskins, Saban would have done it, right?
Right. Right. Oh, I was the first to say that. I mean, that made it look even worse.
I know.
I always couch it. And you know where I come down on this because I just said so. But
yeah.
I do couch it saying it is easier, we all would agree, easier to bench a sophomore Jalen Hurts than it is to bench a fifth-year senior JT Barrett.
Right.
I get that. But you're still paid the big bucks. you're still considered one of the top two coaches in college football, Urban Meyer, or top three, you know, wherever you want to put, because Dabo's up, Dabo's there now. There was like a clear 1-2. I think you have to put Dabo in that discussion too, and there's a few other guys I think are really, really good. But Urban, clearly one of the top, I still think he's top two coaches because he does have the three national championships. You're considered one of the top two coaches in college football. You need to be able to make that bold move. And, you know, again, I mean, we're human, so I do get it to a certain degree. But seeing what I'm seeing out of Dwayne Haskins, he's special. And, you know, now you have people, you know, Todd McShay and some of the draft analysts, you know, saying, oh, he could be a first-round pick. And, you know, that doesn't surprise me to hear that. It's just now it's almost like, you know, a double-edged sword, or I shouldn't say a double-edged sword. That's not the right way to say it. It's like, it's bittersweet. It's great to have a great quarterback like this, but it's almost a shame that if he's going to be kind of one and done as a starter. I mean, he's that good. Now, people may be saying, come on, it's a small sample size. I get that, but when you take everything that we've heard about Dwayne Haskins from players in past seasons, like Ohio State's players would gush about him in past seasons during his redshirt year. Last year, you know, when he was actually playing, you know, just playing in mop-up duty even before he got his chance in the Michigan game, the players would gush about him like they wouldn't gush about JT. And we would see it for ourselves in practice, spring games. Then we saw it against Michigan, and we saw it in mop-up duty last year. So you add it all together. This is a special young man. Got a chance to interview him last night, Bill, after practice. And he's got the it factor. I mean, he's got everything you want. The players gravitate toward him. And, you know, I can't say enough nice things about the young man. We'll see. He still has, a ways to go, but he's absolutely in the discussion for the Heisman Trophy. I think he will be a finalist if he stays healthy. I'm not predicting he's going to win it, but he certainly, I think, will be a finalist if he stays healthy.
Dave Biddle, Bucknuts with us, Bill King. Give me any areas that you see on the offense that might not be quite synced up as well as they're playing. Because I don't know if I see a superstar there. I don't see a Zeke there, and there's no rule that says you got to have that guy. I'm just asking. And then I want you to double that with giving up points, particularly the Oregon State game defensively. Any concerns there, big picture?
Yeah, starting with the offense, I think clearly, I mean, the offensive line has played better than what maybe people expected, but that the jury is still out on the Ohio State's offensive line. I mean, Mike Jordan at center, I mean, he's blocking really well, but that's good. You want your offensive lineman to block well, but when you're center and you're in the shotgun, you know, 100% of the time, shotgun snaps are kind of important, and he snaps a worm burner back there almost every time. Every snap's a low snap, and Dwayne Haskins has done a great job of not fumbling a snap, but it's taking him like an extra second, Haskins, to get in his throwing motion because he's having to like go all the way to the ground almost every time to get the snap. So Jordan needs to get that correct, and keep in mind he's a first-year starter at center. It's kind of a trend for Ohio State to move a guard to center. They did it the last 2 years. Pat Elflein moved from guard to center, won the Remington Award. Billy Price, guard to center, won the Remington Award. I do not think Jordan's going to win the Remington Award, but if he can get his snaps down, he'll be, you know, he's a good player in there. He's a big guy, 6'7", pretty oversized for a center, 6'7", like 315. But and some other guys in the offensive line, I think the jury is still out on. I think their tackles are playing really well. Isaiah Prince, the jury's not out on him. He's going to be a first-round pick, probably late first round, maybe higher than that. He's really good at right tackle, and I like their left tackle too, first-year starter Thayer Mumford. We'll see about Demetrius Knox, right guard. I think, you know, he still needs to prove himself after grading out pretty poorly last year, but he's a fifth-year senior now. Malcolm Pridgen's the other first-year starter, another fifth-year senior, former number one JUCO, you know, offensive tackle in the country, and he's finally getting a chance and playing well. So the offensive line's playing well, but that's the concern I would have for Ohio State. And you're right, they don't have a superstar. Dwayne Haskins is their superstar, obviously, on offense, but as far as like running back and wide receiver, I mean, Mike Weber and J.K. Dobbins are an excellent tandem, but I don't think either one of those guys is like an absolute superstar in their own right. Wide receiver, I will say this, they have, you know, my time covering Ohio State and just watching Ohio State football, they definitely have the deepest and most veteran group of wide receivers that I've seen here. And they have some explosive guys. Again, they don't have a true superstar, but they have a collection of guys. I'm talking like six or seven guys who are like good players. And some of them are really fast, like Paris Campbell and Terry McLaurin, some of those other guys. They have some solid receivers like K.J. Hill, who led the team in receptions last year. Austin Mack had like four drops the other night, but I still am high on him. He's a good player, and they have Johnny Dixon. So they got a bunch of veteran receivers. And then defensively, I mean, they do have question marks defensively. There's no doubt about it. And it's a trend now with Greg Schiano's defenses that we're seeing teams being able to put up big plays against Ohio State's defense, and that's not something you used to see from Ohio State's defense. You know, whether it was the Jim Tressel era or the early part of the Urban Meyer era, Schiano. It's hard to really put your finger on. I mean, part of it's just personnel. I mean, it's not just scheme, but it has become a trend. Even Oregon State was able to put some chunk yardage on them, have four long touchdowns, and put 31 points up, nearly 400 yards of total offense against Ohio State. And TCU was able to move the ball pretty well and had some. TCU had the longest run in school history against Ohio State, 93 yards. Ohio State's in the TCU record book for all the wrong reasons. And, you know, so part of its scheme, I think part of its personnel, like I said, linebackers are not where they need to be at all. So all three linebackers need to improve. And then they have a stud safety in Jordan Fuller. He's a stud. He'll go pro after this year. I have no doubt about it. He's a junior, second-year starter. But the other starting safety, they have no idea who is going to end up being that guy. They keep rotating Isaiah Pryor and Jossen Wendt. They have some other guys they can throw in there, and those guys are not playing well at all. And Urban Meyer said leaving spring that was his biggest concern, you know, as far as personnel on the team, and he was proven. I was thinking, how can it not be linebacker offensive line? But turns out that free safety, or as they call it, field safety position, is maybe in a bigger concern than linebacker and offensive line. So there you go. As good as Ohio State looks, offensive line needs to, you know, playing well, jury's still out. Linebackers need to play a lot better, and that field safety position needs to play a lot better. And one more thing real quick, Nick Bosa's injury is one to keep a close eye on. We're hearing what they're going to try and do is, you know, it's maybe a sports hernia or a partially torn groin, maybe a little bit of both from everything I'm hearing. They're being coy with exactly what the injury is, but they are being honest that they're going to try to avoid surgery, use rehab, and maybe he'll be back as early as a month. I think if you're an Ohio State fan, you should take that and run with it if Nick Bosa was able to come back in a month. But that means he's going to miss the Penn State game, and that's a problem when you're not having perhaps the best player in college football and you have to go to Happy Valley at night.
Yeah, a couple for you out the door. Josh did want to know about Nick Bosa. You just addressed that, and here's another one from McCondon. Says, when is Sean Wade going to be in the starting lineup at safety?
It's a good question. I think they should do that right now. I think he's already the nickelback. Sean Wade, former five-star recruit, redshirted last year because of injury. In fact, he was the number two corner recruit in the country in the 2017 class. Jeff Okuda was the number one corner recruit. He's also at Ohio State, so they got the top two corners in the 2017 class. So, yeah, Wade is now the quote-unquote starting nickel. So I think that's the most – I think that makes a lot of sense. And he looks good, Bill. Sean Wade looks good out there. It helps that he's got like the – when that number 24 has the same kind of almost size as Sean Springs out there. He kind of almost looks like Sean Springs out there just because wearing that number 24, just like Thayer Munford almost looks like Orlando Pace wearing that 75 at left tackle. Not that they're that good, don't get me wrong, but just kind of reminisce back to those some of those superstar players. But, yeah, Sean Wade's a guy to keep an eye on. Again, a redshirt freshman that looks good, and his role is going to continue to get bigger and bigger. And I would not be surprised if he ends up being that starting safety opposite Jordan Fuller.
Way to go, Dave. Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you, buddy.
There he is, Dave Biddle, Bucknuts. They get Tulane. We didn't talk about that. No need to. And then after that, Penn State. That's the topic right there. Got to get the break here. Bottom of the hour, Jackaroot coming up in about 15 minutes. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Out in the Lebanon area, guys, a major accident right around 840 has really slowed things down through there. Once you get past 840, things pick up quite a bit. Try to find a way over to that area. Right now from Lebanon, a 52-minute drive. Typical congestion on Vietnam Vets in Hendersonville is giving us a 41-minute commute. Slow traffic on 24 out of Rutherford County is giving us an hour and 1 minute commute. From Franklin to the Music City, 43 minutes. And from Bellevue, 30 minutes. Don't let your glass be a pain. Contact Best Price Auto Glass, 877-0008. John Boyce with On Time Traffic.
Question. When you walk into the boardrooms of the most successful companies here in Tennessee, who do you meet? When you're working for a mover and shaker with strong ties to our community, who are they? When you encounter a group of people eager to roll up their sleeves, who are you most likely to work with? Answer. Men and women who played high school sports. Education-based high school sports give us more than athletes we can root for. They give us leaders we can depend on. Taking the initiative, being a good teammate, sacrificing personal glory for the greater good. These are qualities we expect of our leaders. And they're all being cultivated in the high schools right here in Tennessee. Question. So where will we find tomorrow's leaders? Answer. High school sports.
This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Ainsworth is a kindergarten through 12th grade coeducational independent school located on two campuses in Nashville, Tennessee. The school incorporates a nurturing community with a challenging program to create a unique, joyful environment where students can develop the intellectual agility, self-confidence, and discipline they need to excel. Visit our website at ainsworth.com to learn more.
Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM has been your home for sports for 20 years. From typewriters to Twitter, fax machines to Facebook, we have you covered 24/7 and on the go. Finding us online is as easy as at Nash Sports Radio. Twitter, at Nash Sports Radio. SoundCloud, at Nash Sports Radio. Facebook, at Nash Sports Radio. Or search your app store for WNSR. 20 years of sports. Anytime, anywhere. From Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
WNSR weather. Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Sunny this morning and hot, a high of 95. Mostly clear this evening, low 74. Friday, sunshine, chance of a storm, a high of 90. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network. On Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Alvin Washington.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Do you like tackle football? Bill King does, and you can connect with at Bill is King on Twitter or 888-702-5494.
Jackaroos, bottom of the hour. ABC All Those Years with Keith Jackson and Brent Musburger. Long time with me on Sirius Satellite. Crazy Charlie got to know him some, too. Good guy, man. We'll tell some football stories. He'll tell some. This is his turn. It's my turn to listen. You'll enjoy. Jack Root coming up. Tomorrow, Southern Steak and Oyster is where the location will be for the show. From 7 until 9, Crazy Charlie has hour 1. They open the doors at 7, so we have to figure that out somehow. And of course, we're nimble. We can get that done. Charlie will give you hour number 1. Price Atkinson will join him, and he'll hang out with whoever he decides to hang out with that hour. 7 until 9, I'll be there. And Brad Powers, bradpowersports.com, in hour number 3. 888-702-5494 is your way to get in. On Twitter, at Bill is King. Been talking about the games this weekend. I've caught a pretty good buzz on that Florida-Tennessee game just out of fantasy, because it's not a game that has meaning like the 90s or some matchup like that. It hadn't really had any meaning in a long time, other than for the fan bases, for bragging rights. And I get that angle, but neither team is very good. That Aggie and Alabama game is interesting. And it's more, to me now, that game is more about the Aggies than it is Alabama. Because we know Alabama. Alabama's not a big guess. We're trying to figure out where the Aggies belong in whatever pecking order we're putting them in. I'm not trying to place them anywhere prematurely at all. I think they've got a ways to go. But they were built for Jimbo to win year one. Win means 8 games or something, 8-4. That's doable. It's inside the very rugged SEC West, which I think right now is the better division, certainly better than the Big Ten East when you get past Ohio State. I was debating that this summer. Might have even gone the other way. Right now, I couldn't take the Big Ten East over the SEC West. So A&M's got that, and there's a beat-up factor that gets to any team inside that division week after week. It's tough. But to me, this game, at least for me now, is more about the Aggies than it is Alabama. I know what I'm getting in Alabama. I'm still trying to measure up the Aggies. Where do they stand on the road, in this case, against the best football program in America and probably on the best run of any program? Maybe we can even say in history it applies to this Alabama situation. That's tough now. But we know that the Aggies are incredibly well-resourced. They can come up with money as good, if not better, than anybody else in sports, in college sports. So that's not a problem. And resources, they are a big advantage if you're willing to use them. See, that's the other thing. If you have it, you got to be willing to use it. Some places that have it are notoriously cheaper. Aggies aren't cheap. If it means I need this to help us win, they write the check. There's no big fight. Lots of places you got to fight. There you don't have to fight. A, they got to believe in you. But if you need something, it's done. That's the end of the discussion. What do you need? Okay, we'll have it immediately. Doesn't matter how many zeros are attached to the need either. So that's why the Aggie thing is interesting, because they're heavily resourced and they went out and they purchased a huge coach who's one of very few who currently is coaching who's got a natty. So this is about the Aggies to me. Where do they stand? And wherever that is, if the game is 42-10, then we've got that measurement. If it's closer and it's 31-20 Alabama, then we've got that measurement. Either way, I'm not looking for a specific answer. I just want the answer. Where are they? I like finding that out. I like the intrigue of hoping I know, but finding out when we get them on the field. Texas and Texas Tech. Boy, that or TCU, sorry. That would be a big W for Tommy Herman if he could pull that thing off. Mississippi State and Kentucky is another one that I find very interesting. KKL says, Bill, T-Dot versus Tua, T-Dot ain't soft. Advantage Aggies. Yeah, but he's got to catch him first. I'm a T-Dot guy, man. I started following T-Dot when he was about 15 because he's from here. T-Dot's a man. He is. Now, Tua is a athletic and throwing quarterback. That gets tiring when you're chasing that around. The other thing is you got to get to him because this will be the best offensive line that the Aggies have played. Amru says, Bill, seriously, that bloodbath in Tuscaloosa is going to make you feel worse than losing to Syracuse. Nice. Spidey Gator. There's a name. Spidey Gator says, for that Tennessee-Florida series to get back to the 90s, it's going to have to be up to Tennessee. That would be good. Karen says, give Jack a kiss for me. Tell him he's got to come to the party. I will invite him. Maybe we can get him there. Jack a Root would be great. Love to have him there. Todd would like meeting him too, I bet. PTS Lax on Twitter, at Billis King, says, looking forward to this segment. Miss the old go green, go white interviews between Jack and Mark D'Antonio. Or as Tinfoil Phil would say, Mark D'Antonio. Does he still say that? Because I haven't heard him speak in years, nor do I want to. Does he still say Mark D'Antonio, meaning Tin Foil Phil? I'm just asking for a friend. Josh says, Bill, is Dave coming to the Omni for the party in December? I don't think the beat guys like that at 24/7. Now, I'll say this. A lot of times they will come to Nashville because the corporate headquarters are here for 24/7. They're under the big CBS umbrella, but for 24/7. So a few of them might be coming here. I know that last year some of the national recruiting guys came into town for that day, got here on the eve and spent that whole day here as things developed, working. I don't know if they could get away, though. And the team sites like Dave's Bucknuts, I would think they need to be close to CBUS or wherever their beat is, right? Monitoring that. I wouldn't think so. I'll broach it, but I wouldn't think so. Just saying. Josh says, Bill, you can get Herbie. He lives in the 615. Yeah, I mean, from the Omni, he's probably 10, 15 minutes away. But Herbie's got all his ESPN duties. And by then, he's still in the middle of the season because we're not talking February. We're talking that early period in December. Herbie's good people, man. I doubt we'll get Herbie down there. I got to give Josh credit, though. He's shooting for the stars on these. He's trying. Hey, you can only try, right? Speaking of that, Primo Seats, get on that site and get your tickets wherever you're going, this weekend, next weekend, whatever weekend, whatever sport, whatever level, college or pro, does not matter. PrimoSeats.com. P as in Paul, R as in Rick, I, M as in Mary, OSeats.com. That's right. Use the name Bill Isking in the promo code box. That will get you 5% off. 5% off. Use the name Bill Isking. Also, remember, this includes non-sporting events, concerts. You need a ticket. If there's a thing you're trying to get into and it involves a ticket, go to PrimoSeats.com. Use the name Bill Isking. Looking forward to this next segment. Jack Arute. Going to talk some football. Going to tell some stories, as we would say in the South. Story. But Big Jack, ABC, and all those years with SiriusXM. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Crews are still working a multiple vehicle accident in the Lebanon area right around 840. This is still causing some major delays. Again, if you can find a way past 840, you'll be doing yourself a big favor. Traffic most other places are starting to alleviate. However, a lot of brake lights, the 2440 merger south of town, as well as the 6524 merger north of town. 24 through Laverne, 65 through Brentwood, you're going to see some brake lights and around your downtown loop. But overall, things are looking a little bit better. Don't miss the Old School Barbecue Festival, Sunday, September 2nd at Riverfront Park. Music, great food, and fun. OldSchoolBarbecueFestival.com. John Boyce on time traffic.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-755-6390. That's 800-755-6390. 800-755-6390.
It's summertime in the French Quarter, and New Orleans is your destination for a getaway to the historic Hotel Montlion on the famed Royal Street in the middle of the Entertainment District. Celebrate New Orleans' 300th anniversary with the Hotel Montlion amid world-class restaurants. Special rates beginning at $129 per night. Convenient off-street valet parking. Call the Hotel Montlion, 866-338-4684. The French Quarter's most celebrated hotel, 866-338-4684.
Discover a new level of relaxation at Mokara. It's your chance to revive, rejuvenate, and restore amidst the welcoming tranquility of our award-winning destination spa. We invite you to sample our extensive spa offerings, including massage therapy, facials, body treatments, salon services, and so much more. Experience refined relaxation at Mokara Spa, located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel. For an appointment, simply call 615-761-3600.
It's the Greg Vogue and Bincho Show.
The reports of the Titans' demise, Greg, were greatly exaggerated.
Wasn't pretty, but didn't have to be.
That's Correct. That's been my mantra my entire life. The playground mentality, not the fake punt like that in the first quarter when you're backed up with Kevin Byard. I mean, that was beautiful. The stones to call that play at that moment were outstanding.
It's the Greg Hogue and Big Joe Show on WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
If it happens anywhere in college sports, the Bill King Show will be there to bring you the facts.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. Should have called him a while back. But we're updating the resume with Jack Arute right here. Longtime ABC field reporter, many years on SiriusXM with me. How you been, Jack?
I've been good. How about you, Billy?
I'm doing good, buddy.
Smoking your brains out.
I'm trying. Is that your only memory of me smoking barbecue?
No,
is that
actually,
all you got?
No, actually, what's fun? And you know me, I'm not a big social media guy. Okay?
Right.
Yeah, because I just don't know how to do it. But every once in a while, I'll get a notification, and there's a brisket, or there's ribs, and it says Bill King.
Oh, man. So these days, do you watch college football as much today as when you were in it all those years?
I would say 75% as much.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's and it's not because I'm not in it. It's because, to be quite honest with you, it's because I think there's so much of it that it sometimes overwhelms you.
Yeah.
So much available to you that you get there, and I mean, you literally during football season, heck, you could be like Chris Childers and have no life. You know, I mean, if you sit there and you watch from morning until late in the night, I mean, I've already been married and divorced three times. I'm not going to chance a fourth one.
Particularly when it's not your job every day. Anymore.
Well,
right?
You know, I mean, the exciting news is I am doing some fill-in on the conference channels, and to be quite frank with you, Billy, I'd love to get back. And then,
oh, I know. That, you could do it.
That's when, then I would add the 25%. Do you follow me?
Give me, there's so many, and we could do this 10 hours, but I want you to repeat the Musburger story. Where you guys are at the Fiesta Bowl. It's Urban Meyer's last Utah game. It's the Utah-Pitt game. And the game that preceded y'all's game spills over, and Brent throws a fit. I want that story for this audience.
Well, I mean, we had put a lot of money and planning into a special open. And it included Mike Ditka, and it was like a fairy tale, all right? And as usual, you know, in the time slot, it runs over, and you can just see I'm on the sidelines.
Hey, Jack, by the way, can you remember what was the game that spilled over? Do you remember? I don't remember.
It was the Rose Bowl, but I don't remember who the, you know.
Okay.
I mean, because, and we all know, typical Rose Bowl, they always run over.
Right.
You know, and so anyways, the long and the short of it is.
So Brent is stupid.
Well, let's put it this way. Brent kind of tuned out for a while. That's the kindest way I can put it. And poor old Gary Danielson's up there. And when we all get back in the car to go back to the hotel. And it was an okay game. I mean, it wasn't anything to get great shakes about, but there were some good storylines because of the matchup with Ohio State, et cetera.
Right.
First time and only time I've ever gone from a game site to a hotel where Brent Musburger didn't say a word.
And this is after the game.
Oh, he just carried it into Monday, dude.
you told me that when they finally got to your broadcast, he's the play-by-play guy, he really didn't even want to participate there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But we're all professionals. I mean, we've all been in that position. I mean, I can't tell you the number of times when I've listened to a producer start to tell me what I should be saying on the air when I wanted to do the drop the mic and just walk off the set.
Right.
You know, but yeah, and that's why I say he tuned out and he was not. And Gary, you know, Gary's a high energy guy and he's trying to do everything. And, you know, and it'd be, well, you know, this is why they're doing this. You know, they pulled the safety over to here. And Graham would go 2nd and 10.
Well,
and we all knew it. Okay. We all knew it. And to be honest with you, it was the first time in all the years that we worked with him where we ever experienced that. So we were all caught off guard. You know, I mean, let me juxtapose that story with the Keith Jackson story. Keith Jackson hated with a passion promos. And when they give the promos in the production meeting, every once in a while, Bob Goodrich was our producer, he'd go, Bobby, I ain't going to do it. Whoever's writing these can't even get it grammatically correct. I ain't going to do it. But then when the red light went on, you know, Keith corrected the grammatical errors and did the promos. But every week when the promos would be distributed, I ain't going to do it. But when the bell rang, he answered the bell.
Right.
The bell rang. It rang again. The fire horn went off. The, you know, and Brent wanted nothing to do with it.
Well, and that reminds me, because you told me this. You would say, and this is the Keith Jackson years, you'd be down there on the sideline and you'd go get what you thought was an incredible interview or a notation of some sort. I mean, man, I just nailed this thing.
Yep.
You'd send it back to Keith. He'd take a big breath and say, 2nd and 8.
2nd and 10.
No acknowledgement at all.
But the very best one, Bill, is we're doing the Sugar Bowl. When Alabama was facing Miami, and Gino Toretto was the quarterback for Miami, and if you recall, going into that Sugar Bowl, the media and everybody in the football industry just wanted to give the national championship to Miami and not play the game. And lo and behold, I mean, Alabama upset them, and it was Gene Stallings. It was a great victory, all that. But what went unnoticed, and it's still on YouTube, and I can't remember the defensive player's name for Alabama, but he was injured in an automobile accident during the Christmas break, and he couldn't play, so he wasn't dressed. And, you know, he played such a critical role in the season. We went, and he says, Jack, I think you ought to interview that young lad. So we set it up, and we go to interview him. And I asked him the first question, and I'm not exaggerating. Nobody told us that his freaking jaw was wired shut.
Right. What was that kid's name? Somebody will tell us. But go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah, somebody, but anyways, so I, you know me. I'm not smart enough to toss it back. So I do one more question. And Keith's answer is, and that, my friends, is why we have closed captioning for the hearing impaired.
Oh man! What is that kid name? I think he had a brother that played there too. It was a linebacker. Yeah. Dang, I can't. That somebody will tell us. One of my favorites is, I believe it was it Charles White or Anthony? Which one was it? Was it Anthony Davis or Charles White that gained all the weight, the running back? And you were interviewing him. He weighed like 320 pounds.
Oh, and I forget who it was. And
I believe it was AD. But anyways, you're on the sideline.
What I don't want to do is I don't want to say who it is.
Right.
Because for fear that I choose the wrong one.
You got it wrong. You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're on the sideline talking to him, and I'm noticing this. It doesn't even look like him. He played at 5'10", 180, and he's about 350, it looks like, standing there next to you.
Porked up, yep.
You sent it back up to Keith, and Keith said, Anthony or Charles, whichever one it was. Ever thought about losing some weight?
Oh.
And you told me you were listening then too, right?
Yeah. I mean, the beauty about all of the people that I worked with, Keith and Brent, you know, they were the masters of their craft.
Right.
But what they also did is they had and still do, well, not in Keith's case, but, you know, an abiding passion for the sport. I mean, everybody has a great Keith Jackson line. You know, here comes the Alabama Crimson Tide, and there's a whole bunch of them. you know, and look out for the big uglies. Everybody has a Keith Jackson moment. Everybody, tell me another announcer that has a drinking game in, right, name for him. The Brent Musburger drinking game is legendary. It was used on college campuses. And I don't know if I ever told you this story. Back in the George W. Bush era, it was actually a big deal for all of the interns and the young staffers inside the White House.
Wow.
I mean, that's, and we tend to forget that. We tend to forget that as the purveyors of the word pictures, as the people that were there, and we take the viewer or the listener there, that we're there, we're their guide there, you know. So they eat up everything we say, and it's probably, I was on with AJ Hawk the other day, and we were talking about how the social media, and I'm not talking about the benign stuff, I'm talking about Reddit and everything else that's blossomed up to where you no longer can be certain that what you're reading or what you're hearing or what takes on a life and trends has any semblance of accuracy. So now you really have to work harder because you don't want to assume something. You know, where when I started, yeah, all right, maybe you had reams of paper you had to read through with clips and everything else, but they were respected people that were making their living covering the sport or the team. Now all you need is a smartphone, and you can change the narrative overnight.
By the way, Jack Root with us. The name is Michael Rogers. I always forget that name.
Yes, yes. Every time. Yes, yes, yes. There you go. Yep. All I remember is...
Hey, do you stay in touch with Brent now that he's with the Raiders and out there in Vegas and everything?
Well, you know, Brent is on Sirius.
Okay,
with the,
yeah,
Stats and Information Service.
Right.
And, and Brendan Gaughan, Brent works out of South Point there. And his family I've known for years. So, yeah, if I've talked to him several times. I'll tell you a great story. He and Arlene, and I can't believe this, they had never been to Australia. And this past winter, they went to Australia for an extended stay because they wanted to go sightseeing. And Brent calls me from Australia. And he says, "Hey, Jack, how you doing, kid? How you doing? I just wanted to let you know, I just want to... You think we gamble a lot in the United States? Jack, you can get a bet on anything here." And I said, "I know, Brent. I've been to Australia many times. You want me to place a bet for you?" I said, "No, that's okay."
Oh, man. Jack, we got to do this again soon, buddy.
Absolutely. Anytime, my friend.
There is Jackaroo. ABC, Sirius XM, everything. Good stuff there. There are lots of stories. But next time we'll tell the John L. story. That's what we got to do. That's a good one. So you can pull that one up on YouTube, too, anytime you want. One more break here on this Thursday edition. Tomorrow at the Southern Steak and Oyster, just around the corner from the beautiful Omni Nashville Hotel.
Crews are still working a multiple vehicle accident in the Lebanon area right around 840. This is still causing some major delays. Again, if you can find a way past 840, you'll be doing yourself a big favor. Traffic most other places are starting to alleviate. However, a lot of brake lights, the 2440 merger south of town, as well as the 6524 merger north of town. 24 through Laverne, 65 through Brentwood, you're going to see some brake lights and around your downtown loop. But overall, things are looking a little bit better. Don't miss the Old School Barbecue Festival, Sunday, September 2nd at Riverfront Park. Music, great food, and fun. OldSchoolBarbecueFestival.com. John Boyce on time traffic.
Since 1976, Angelo's Picnic Pete's, an Italian restaurant, has continued the tradition of the La Mattina family of real Italians making real pizza and dishes with their own secret and successful recipes passed from generation to generation. Angelo's Picnic Pete's, an Italian restaurant at 2713 Murfreesboro Road in Antioch, has long been the go-to place in Nashville for authentic Brooklyn-style pizza, even up to selling pizza by the slice. In fact, the La Mattina family received a proclamation from Metro Government for dedication to service, length of time open for a family-owned business and great selection of authentic Italian food. But it's more than just great pizzas at Angelo's, with amazing pasta dishes, calzones, strombolis, and sandwiches. Plus daily specials and a buffet Monday through Saturday from 11 to 2 and Sunday 4:30 to 8:30. Catering also available. Visit angelospicnicpizza.com to learn more and print off special coupons, or just give Nick and the crew a call. 615-399-0100. That's Angelo's Picnic Pizza, an Italian restaurant in Antioch, for the real deal Italian.
Part of you won't be satisfied till you eat made-to-order food that's hot and meaty like a meal. You want Penn Station East Coast subs. This is the food you daydream about. Grilled steak and onions covered in melty cheese with baked bready goodness and fresh-cut fries. See it with your mind's eye and smell it with your mind's nose. It's what dinner and lunch were meant to be. Answer your craving with something truly mind-blowingly delicious. Penn Station, hot, meaty goodness.
As the 2018 season comes down the stretch, you won't want to miss a single minute of Atlanta Braves baseball.
Sock to center. Pilar on his horse. Straight back to the wall. Looks up. Gone! Straight away center for Ozzie Albies.
Catch all the action as the Braves run to the postseason right here on your Middle Tennessee home for Atlanta Braves baseball. Nashville Sports Radio.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Sunny this morning and hot, a high of 95. Mostly clear this evening, low 74. Friday, sunshine, chance of a storm, a high of 90. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network. On Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Alvin Washington.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Body clock is set to college football and nothing else. It's Bill King.
You're listening to The Bill King Show, the only college football radio show proven to make you smarter.
Brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Imagine being in a production meeting where they hand the promo sheets to Keith Jackson. And you'll notice this during games, that randomly the play-by-play guy will read a 15-second, 20-second liner, and it's about a sitcom, something totally unrelated to the game, promoting Tuesday night comedy or a sitcom, whatever it is, something though totally 180. But the producers or the network suits, they like that, promoting their other inventory, getting eyeballs to that, promoting their other things. That's what they do. Handing him a reader about some sitcom that's silly or dumb, that you just know he's never watched or would never watch. And having him read that is funny. And I can just see him not wanting to do it. I think about that stuff all the time. When there's something there you got to read that you'd prefer not to do, and it interrupts the flow of the game, you'd rather not do it. Oh, I can imagine that. Keith Jackson, man. Wow. That's a guy that I never met, unfortunately for me. I had him on the show once. He was retired. And there was a clip that got pretty famous from that interview. It's gone now. It's disappeared into the heavens. I don't know where it is, but it was a really good. It's about his upbringing, because he's from Georgia, believe it or not. Yeah, well, you can tell by the accent he's from the South. But he left Georgia at the end of high school and ended up at Washington State. And started his career out west, and really never, as far as I know, never came back this way. Never lived here. Unless somebody says Billy actually did. I think he stayed out there. I know in his final years, he actually lived in Pasadena. Speaking of the Rose Bowl, lived out there for many, many years. Jason, Hawkeye Jason, says, Bill, put Jack on sports in that slot that you had previously set aside for Tubbs. Jack Arute. Nathan, Bill, great interview with Jack. Loved hearing all those Musburger stories. Oh, there's plenty of those. Yeah, we couldn't think of the name Michael Rogers, and a bunch of you came to the rescue. That happens every so often, what, 2 or 3 years apart, and I can never think of Michael Rogers' name. Next time this story comes up in a year or two, I will ask you again, who was the linebacker at Alabama who got in the car wreck who had his jaw wired? And you'll have to say, hey, Bill, that was Michael Rogers. And I'll thank you for bailing me out again. We've been down that road before. We'll go down it again. Bama Dave says, Bill, I just got on the show here, but, quote, I ain't gonna do it. Low-hanging fruit. Jason says, Bill, that game that went long, that cut into that Urban Meyer versus Pitt Fiesta Bowl when he was at Utah, last game before Florida, was the Texas and Michigan game. Went late. And he puts a link up, the YouTube link of the game. He says you may have to watch the whole game to find Brent in there. Yeah, Brent did not take kindly to that. All the packaging that they had done leading into that game was basically now null and void. You don't have time for all that stuff. You got to get into the game. And he was very ticked off. I did not know they had Mike Ditka. You know, Mike is one of the famous Pitt. Played at Pitt. Played tight end there. Pitt. Former college football players. Tony Dorsett. Dan Marino. I mean, there's a hell of a list at Pitt. Just saying. UGA Charlotte about the Tennessee-Florida game having national media meeting again. When will that day come is what I threw out earlier on the show about 3 hours ago. Says national meaning not anytime soon. Vols haven't won an SEC game since November of 16. And the Gators just lost to Kentucky, Bill. Yeah, but Kentucky's really good. Everybody. So that was actually a better Gator loss than they're getting credit for, right? Josh says, how about getting Brett McMurphy there? It's not like he has any more ESPN duties. That's true. What is he with? That site called Stadium or something? I'm starting to get all these mixed up. Stadium, The Athletic. Now, you understand that 4 years from now, 2 years from now, they can't all coexist. Unless they've got unlimited sugar daddies. I tell you what, The Athletic, they're hiring big names, and they can't be getting them cheap. And I don't know where their revenue stream is. Now, they're getting subscribers, but they're charging, what, $5 a month with 40% off? How are you going to support all these national writers and all their traveling and their salaries based on that subscriber base, which can't be very big, I would think. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're selling hundreds of thousands of these subscriptions. I would doubt it. There's so much free stuff out there. I would doubt it. But there's a bunch of them, and they're all going pretty hard at it, right? Gator Ace says, not long for Florida, but a long time for Tennessee. I don't know if I buy that. Typically, I would side that way because Florida is a top 2 or 3 job, I think. I think it's right there at the top. Tennessee is a top 15 to top 20 job. Still a really good job. You can win big at that place with the right leadership. But the one thing, though, I'll go back to, I don't know that Dan Mullen is a great recruiter. To be elite, you've got to be able to do both. You've got to be a great recruiter and a great coach, developer, day-to-day ops guy. Very few of those. I know Jeremy Pruitt's an excellent recruiter. I don't know that Mullen is. I know he can develop, But see, at Florida, you got to get them and then develop them. Not just take 3 stars and develop them. You got to do better than that. I don't know if he understands that. Now, he was there when they did it, but it wasn't his gig. It was Urban Meyer's gig. That's the difference. At Crazy Charlie 615, he's going to be hosting tomorrow morning 6 until 7. Well, I'm getting ready to start the show at the Southern Steak and Oyster, and then I'll have it 7 until 9. He'll have Price Atkinson with him and other guests, perhaps, to his choosing. I'll be there hanging out. We got Brad with us in hour number 3, handicapping, talking about all the games, week number 4 of college football. If you missed any of these interviews, or you just want to go back and hear the show, or you didn't hear the show at all, Charlie's got the archives up there for you, the podcast form. That'd be at CrazyCharlie615. Mine would be at BillIsKing. Email the show anytime, BillIsKing7 at gmail.com. Lash Bob.